Today we're gonna talk about something that it's really important for the believer. We get saved. The Bible says there's only one way to come to the Father. I can only go by the Word. So there's only one way to come by the come to the Father is by the Spirit drawing them. This is a spiritual thing. You don't get saved mentally. You get saved spiritually. You were dead. In the Garden of Eden, we died. Now, we didn't die physically, but we died spiritually. And that's why Christ came. He died so that we could live. So He comes along, and through the Word, just the way He showed up, a lot of people have a lot of ideas of how He came into being, but the Bible says it was the Word spoken. Remember, God's done everything by speaking. He speaks it, and then it comes, right? He stood out on nothing and spoke light. He spoke this world into existence. The only time He stopped speaking was when He made you. With you, He put His hands on you. And He molded you and fashioned you after His likeness. You look like God. That's why you have so much trouble in this world. The devil hates you every time he sees you because you look like God. You look like the one who he tried to overthrow, okay? And the Bible says that we as gods. Now, when he says that, he says it in little g form. So we're not God, but we are His children. I can look here at April. I noticed it was April's mom and daddy with us today because I saw April's mama. And April standing there with dad or with her mama. And see what you got? You know, they all look alike. Well, how's that happen? They're their offspring. My voice is just like my dad's. If both of us, when dad was healthy, if he would pick up the phone, his own sisters, they'd tell me to answer the phone at the house, and I'd pick up that phone and say hello, and they'd start, they're sisters, you know, they got to tell that story. Not mean ladies, but, you know, they like to talk. We don't talk as much, right? Men just don't talk as much. The ladies would like for us to communicate more, right? Amen. But as soon as I'd pick up that phone and say, hello, I couldn't even get out Jerry or anything, or this is Dean, and they start talking to me, and I'd have to go, wait a second. This is Dean. This is Jerry. No, this is Dean. I'm talking to Dean. Get Jerry on the phone, you know? But they couldn't tell the difference. Where did that come from? That came from the genetics. Did you know when you got born again, the inerrant seed of God's Word? See, how did a virgin have a baby? The angel came and declared that over her, the Word of God, and the inerrant Word of God went into her and created Christ. And He was flesh and spirit. Because unlike us, He was created by the Spirit being spoken into Mary. We're not created that way. That's the difference between us and Christ. That's why He could come and bear our sin, because He wasn't created like normal human beings. He was created solely by the Word. The inerrant Word of God. Okay? And the Bible says that He has sent His Word to us now. Where's that Word at? Well, it's the Bible. Okay? And we can read the Bible and we get nothing out of it. Am I the only one in the house that's ever read the Bible and didn't get anything out of it? I've read the Bible before. I remember a day when I read the Bible and I couldn't get anything out of it. You know why I couldn't get anything out of it? Because it wasn't being revealed to me by the Spirit. Life comes when it's carried on spirit. That's why the Bible says that he sins. Romans chapter 10, he talks about he sends someone. How shall they hear unless someone is sent? What happened with Mary? An angel was sent. In Revelation, the churches, he talks about the churches, and he talks about this, if you don't repent, I'm going to remove the angel from among you. What's the angel? What does that signify? It signifies the word. It signifies the life word. I'm going to remove the opportunity for you to have life word. See, I'm going to segue here just a little bit, and I don't want to step on anybody's toes, but this is why you can't vote a preacher in. A board can't go out and seek out a pastor because you're trying to make a spiritual thing happen doing it a physical way, and you can't do that. It won't work. Who do we as humans think that we are that we can get God to move on our terms? Oh, he might be able to speak eloquently, touch your emotions, make you feel good, but we're talking about life. It's got to be sent. Amen? And so, he said, and how will they ever hear and understand or comprehend unless they hear the word? And how will they hear if someone's not sent? Okay? So now we're understanding that there has to be a tangible life word that comes to us. And you know what I'm talking about, because you'll be in a church service and all of a sudden something just comes to life to you. You see it. You understand it. Well, what happened there? A life word came. Okay? And now that's something that you can apply to your life and you'll see it work and you won't have to. Okay? I've been around this for a long time, and I've watched people grab a hold of something and try to work it. They're going to speak this and speak it and speak it and speak it. And they speak it till their tongue's almost ready to drop out. They wear themselves out speaking it. But they're just working the word, and they're not letting the word do the work. God's word, the Bible says, is spirit and life. So if you're going to get a God word, you've got to have spirit and life. Remember when God said, when Jesus said, have faith in God. Well, if you're going to have faith in God, you've got to have a God word. And without a God word, you don't have spirit and life. God is a spirit. And he said, they that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. Wait a second, what's that mean? Well, there's a bunch of people out there, and there's a group, and I'm not making fun of anybody, but there's a group out there that thinks you got to speak in tongues, and that will be worshiping him in spirit. That's not true. Do I believe in tongues? Absolutely. The Bible speaks about it. I believe it. If it's in there, I believe it. And if I don't believe it yet, I'm working on believing it. Amen. I'm trying to wrap my head around it, okay? Is that where you're at? If you don't understand it, you're trying to understand it, right? And you know, whenever you know, when your hunger is there to want to understand, God's going to show up through someone in your life to speak a life word on that for you to understand it and comprehend it. You just got to hang on and keep growing and keep dreaming and keep hungering, all right? So with all that in mind, I'm just trying to build a foundation here to help you. Now, watch what he says here in Matthew chapter 12, verse 30. Let's start at 33. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. How many know that's true? Jesus used parables so we could understand what he was talking about, right? And so if that's true, then he said, you'll be known by your fruit, right? And there's a time when all of us have to stop and think about, what are we allowing to happen in our life? Because the Bible says we are trees planted by the rivers of water, living water, all right? So you're not something that comes and goes. You're not like the grass of the field. You're a tree that produces. And the world around, your world around you will eat off of you. What do they know of you? When they look at you, are they looking at, hey, there's an individual I can get some comfort from. There's someone I can get some wisdom from. There's someone that I can get some kindness from. There's someone that I can get some understanding from. There's someone that I can receive life from. See, oh, understanding, acceptance. I can gain some life from them. Or are they, you know, is that you? Are you the do they look at you and say you're the smart ass? Do they look at you and say, well, you know, they're always going to want to, it's always going to be politics. I need to steer away from that. Do they look at you and say, oh, well, that will always be, you know, condemning or judgmental? You know, what are they, when they, and I'm trying to be condemning here. I'm going to help you understand, how do you fix the tree? What do the people see? And sometimes, now I'm not saying that we need to worry whatever other people think. As a whole, I don't care what somebody else thinks. How I pastor, how I operate, what I do. I don't care what anybody thinks about my work ethic. I don't care. But I do care what they think about how they're going to feel when they leave my presence. When they step away from me, what are they taking with them? I care about that. I care about what people, we need to care somewhat what people think, you know? Because the only way they're going to get the gospel is through us, right? We are the only Jesus they're going to see in this earth. And we need to, there's nothing wrong with asking someone who's really close to you, that's not going to hurt you, but you just want to know honestly, what do you see when you see me? Most of us don't want to ask somebody else that, right? I don't think so. I think I'll pass on that one. But we're going to have to find out. Listen, I've told you this from the very beginning, and you've heard me say this over and over again. There's three things in life you have to know to be successful in the kingdom of God and in this world. Three things you have to know. How many of you can tell me what those three things are that I've said? Anybody? All right, I'm going to say it again. You have to know God. You have to know people. And you have to know yourself. And that one is the toughest one for us to work on. If I said something about, called your neighbor by name, you go, you could start talking about that neighbor, good or bad, because you know that neighbor, right? God, you're going to tell me what you know about him. But you don't want to talk about you. You'll talk about your ailments. You'll talk about whatever you need to talk about to get the attention, to get what you want. But when it comes to studying yourself to know who you are, well, we want to stay away from that. Come on, we all do. I've told you before, the easiest way to stop the enemy from attacking or successfully attacking you, because you're not going to stop him from attacking you, he's relentless. But how do you stop him from winning in the attack? I told you this, and I'm going to tell you again. Get a calendar. They're coming out right now for 2022. You need to buy you a daily calendar. And when you behave in a manner that you're struggling with, There's something in your life you want out of it. You want that out of your life. You don't like that about you. It's either you speak to your wife in ways you don't want to. You wish you wouldn't. You speak to your husband in ways you wish you wouldn't. You've spoke to your children. You go into a cycle, and you know it's a cycle. You know it's there, right? I mean, I'm not the only one here. You know there's a cycle, and you know there's a pop. You know, I call it the beach ball effect. You shove the beach ball under the water at the pool, and you can hide it for a long time until somebody rocks your boat, and then all of a sudden the beach ball pops up, and everybody knows you got a beach ball, all right? Well, once in a while, your wife goes, yeah, it's still there, because you have your throw. I mean, you're out there in the garage throwing tools. You're upset. You're having a fit. You're having a meltdown. And it happened. And then you apologize. Come on. We apologize. We make it right. We do what we need to do. And then we go on in life, and we don't. But see, you're never fixing it. Because you don't know yourself, and you don't know how to fix it. You tried to fix it. And you're just like the animal out there who's trying to get away from the hunter, and the hunter's in charge. The enemy is seeking whom he may devour. And he's hunting you, and he's trapping you, and he's fishing for you, and he's hooking you. And we need to take a look at, I'll tell you about the third month, because it'll pop up about every 4 to 6 weeks, sometimes sooner, if you're real good at hiding, if you really get some self-control, read your Bible extra, get some extra praise and worship songs going on, you can drag it out an extra few days. But it will pop back up. And when it pops back up, you write that down in the calendar. By the second time you write it down on the calendar, you start reflecting on who have you ran into, where have you been, what have you been involved in, what pressures in your life are going on, what's happening in around you in your personal life. And you know what you're going to find? You're going to find a pattern. A pattern that you didn't even mean to create, a pattern that you didn't even mean to have. But the enemy has led you down this road of a pattern so that you're easy prey for him. And then he sets around and he gets you back into the cycle and has you walking right back the trail so he can shoot you again. Wow. Okay? All right. Watch what this says. So see, there's a way to make the tree good. We just got to know what's going on. Or we can just leave it and let it be corrupt. Jesus said it this way. He says, "Oh, generation of vipers." Now, when he says generation of vipers, he's not calling you a viper. He's not calling you a snake. Okay? But a generation that's led by the snake. How many of you looked outside your window, got out there in the world today? How many of you listening to your news? How many of you at least have a finger on what's going on out there in the world today? Are they listening to the enemy or are they listening to God? Are they a generation of righteousness or a generation of vipers? I mean, it's not hard to guess this, okay? So now we know who Jesus is talking to, okay? He's talking to a generation, and we're in that generation, all right? Now watch. How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart. Now what is he talking about? Well, I'm saved. I have a new spirit. And the spirit is the heart. The heart is the spirit. That's not true. That's what religion has taught us, that is our spirit man is our heart, and then we have our mind, and then we have our body. But that's not true. The heart is the center
point of your belief and thinking. Out of the abundance of the central part of your core belief, your mouth is going to speak. Now here, and this is the easiest thing. This is what makes Christianity easy. Because it's easy for you to speak what grandma and grandpa spoke. What mom and dad spoke, what aunts and uncles speak, what the people you're hanging around with. I was talking to a fella out at the pen one time, and I can talk about this because he's a good man, and he's done a lot of soul searching since then. But you know, he was out there at the pen, and we were talking. It was one of those days that I was very fortunate. I was able to really minister to a lot of people out there, and I miss it. Because this guy came out and he wanted to talk to me, and they would want to talk to me once in a while. So I said, well, come on, truck, you know, and I'll keep unloading and we'll talk. And his tears started coming up in his eyes. I said, hey, man, what's going on? He said, well, he says, I got too much of this place in me. I said, what's happening? He said, well, the other day, he said, my son and my daughter and my wife were planning my birthday. And he said, my son was running around hiding stuff. And I watched him go through the house. And he says, and I was just having one of them days. And I said, hey, what do you got? And he said, I got nothing. You liar. You have something right there. I see you got something. Let me see what you have. He says, no, Dad, I can't show it to you. And he said, then I got mad, and I started chewing this boy out, and he finally pulled out my birthday card and handed it to me. So that's what I got, Dad. We're just trying to surprise you with a birthday party. But what he was around every day taught him he cannot trust. And it got in him, and it became the core of his thinking. And he took the core of his thinking home with him and treated his family like prisoners. So I got to talk to him about this. And as we talked about, because he called himself a Christian, but he used that F word every time he turned around. I ain't too crazy about that F word. I mean, I can stand a, you know, but... That's just, you know, and most of the things you use with the F word is impossible to do anyway. So I don't even know why you use it like you do. You know, it's just physically impossible. So I just don't, habit is what's happened. It's become a habit of what you, and it just automatically comes out. I've had people smash their finger or be out working with them, even here at the church, and they'll be working, and they hit a finger or something, and out comes that word, and not the F word, but I mean, out comes that word. I've never heard the F word from anybody here at the church, but I mean, out comes that word, and they look at me and go, I'm sorry. Well, don't apologize. That's just in the core of your heart of your thinking. There's no judgment here. Okay? That is in the core of your thinking, and it came out automatically. Did it not? Now, I'm saying this, using this illustration, not to condemn you, okay? Get the condemnation off. Therefore, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, all right? Because that cuss word, I would rather you give me a cuss word than to use words that are against what Christ has said about you. I would much rather hear that than you feeling less than the child of God you are and that coming out of your mouth. Because that's the curse. That's a whole lot worse than a curse word. We have determined the curse words, not the Bible and not God. We have determined. Nowhere in the Bible will you see thou shalt not call anyone a jackass. Where did you find that in the Bible? Thou shalt not ever say hell, shit or damn, okay? That you never say that. See, here's the pastor. I'm trying to get a point across here. The Bible never taught you that. That's just in a morality. That is in just a setting of ethics. That's set of, and those of us who have some character, we know where not to use those words, because they might offend someone, and we don't want to be an offense to anyone. So if you got offended at me by using those words just now, please forgive me. I'm trying to make a point here. I would rather hear that than hear you talk about how you have a cancer or you have a tumor or since my wayward child, or since my broke down car, since my this, or since my, you don't claim those things. You're grabbing a hold of the curse and you're making it yours, and that's worse than a cuss word. A cuss word is just something to keep from offending you. Okay? But the curse will destroy you. And it lets you know what's in the abundance of your core thinking. When you change your core thinking, automatically things roll out of your mouth that are either the curse or the blessing. And it starts right here with this little one right here, feeding that little baby. Hey, Casely, that's a pretty baby. She says amen once in a while. She helps me preach once in a while. It's right there is where they begin to deposit the seeds of either she's a daughter of the king or she's a daughter of this lineage here on earth, and this is what our tribe believes, this is what our tribe says, this is how our tribe thinks, and this is the way we do things. This is our tribe. And that which comes out of that tribe is natural, and it's physical, and it will only be able to do what that tribe can produce. So that tribe better be connected to some politicians. That tribe better be connected to some job opportunities. That tribe better be connected to a lot of things and a lot of influence if this child's going to make it. But if you're connected to the one who has favor over you and favor with all men, then you deposit a different seed to a different tribe called the kingdom of God. Amen. And I can tell you right now, if you don't learn how to, listen to me real close, parents, if you don't learn how to gain, you're the one who is molding this child. And you're the one that can produce a child that will receive the seed or not receive it. Just by the way you let them act. The way you let them behave. The way you let their emotions just do whatever their emotions want to do. That child's an emotional being. And you are in the seat, the driver's seat, to teach them how to control their emotions. But if you can't control yours, how can you ever teach them to control theirs? And you're taking away from them the opportunity for the kingdom word to be sown into them. You're taking that away. Wow. That's quite a responsibility. Yes, having children is quite a responsibility. It's huge. I told Pat the other day, I said, you don't see many parents anymore having children because they love children. They have children to prove to the parents that they can have them. That's pretty easy. You just got to do one act and you got children, okay? That's not hard. You're not really proving much. You don't get a trophy for that. But to want to raise and nurture a human being and pour into them, all right? So Jesus is saying here that there's something inside of us that produces. Now watch this. Mark 11, 22 through 24 says, whatsoever a man saith, he can have. What saying is he talking about? Anything you say? No, it goes back to that. When Jesus is talking and he's telling you things, see, people get to thinking that and they go, hey, we'll just say it and we get it. We say it, we get it. No, it still goes back to what life words did you receive? And then when you receive those life words, what did you do with them? Did you transform your mind to the life words, or did they just go in one ear and out the other? I say it this way. And if you just want to know how we got this and learn it, we found this truth and we listened to this truth over and over and over and over and over and over because faith, the God kind of faith, comes by the God kind of words. And it comes by hearing. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. And here's a mistake a lot of people think. They go, okay, all right, we're just going to turn on Christian television and we're just going to leave that on all day. Wait a second. They're each preaching something different. And you don't remember what the first message was by the time you get to noon, let alone all day long. If you're this comes, what did the Bible tell us? Line upon line, precept upon precept. That's how he builds in you. Line upon line and precept upon precept. So what do? We hear a word and we know it's life to us. We didn't understand that before, but we understand that now. We get that. What happened? What was the difference between hearing that message before and hearing it now? That you all of a sudden got it. The Spirit, the words were carried by the Spirit and touched your spirit. And life began to produce. Now, what are you going to do with that life? Are you going to embrace it, begin to feed it, nurture it, and let it grow, let that grow? How do I do that? Hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. Here's how we did it. Life word like that would come, and this right here was some of the first stuff. And when it would come, I would listen to that message over and over again, and about the only thing else I would listen to is the word. Because the word has to be the foundation to what anybody is saying. And God's never going to be contrary to his word. He's never going to be outside that circle. So I needed to get the word, listening to it. And I bought it on CD at that time. And I had every bit of it. Or I bought it by tape that time. And I had every bit of it on tape. And I listened to it from the tape. And some of it, yes, I just kept listening. And just kept listening. I tell people who don't understand it, just keep listening and keep listening and keep listening because you will get it. If I hang you, when you meet somebody the first time, there's a whole lot of things you don't understand about that person, isn't there? But the more you get around them, the more you get to know them and you begin to understand them, right? By listening. Do you get to understand somebody by talking? Or do you get to understand somebody by listening? By listening. So you listen to the word of God over and over and over again, and eventually you're going to get it. But while I'm doing that, my life word over here that God gave me, he gave me a life word on this, and I'm going to listen to that over and over again. what's going to happen? All of a sudden, one day, the lights are going to come on. And you're going to hear that life word, and you're going to see it all over the Bible. But wait a second, it's confirming itself now. As it begins to confirm itself, what am I doing in all this process? I'm changing my core thinking. I still love my grandma, but I would never call a colored folk what my grandma called a colored folk. Oh, now come on. Come on. Am I the only one in the room? It's not my grandmother hated anybody. It was what she was taught, and that's just what she said. How are you going to fix that? You got to transform your thinking. Amen. You can't fix that throwing money at that. You can't fix that by trying to pay some type of restitution. You'll still have that word in your heart, and you'll still be using it as a great offense. God's the one that pays the restitution. He's the one that heals the brokenhearted and mends the wounded soul. Does that mean I can treat anybody I want to? I don't want to treat anybody any way I want to. I want to treat everybody anything but good. Just nothing but good. Amen? Why? Because the love of God is permeating in my heart. Is it at the level I want it to be? No, but is it greater than it used to be? Yes. How did it get there? By receiving His word and grabbing a hold of His life word. And you know what? As you go along and mature in this, transformation takes place faster. Faster, 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 faster. Because you're open to the word, you know the word, and the life word comes, and you just learn how to change that in your heart. Change that in your mind. Now that's the way I'm going to think about that from now on. Wow. Now what am I speaking? The things that I want to see happen in my life, not the doctor's report. Not the surgeon general's report. Come on. Not my boss's report. Not the stock market report. Come on. Not the presidential report, but the report of the kingdom of God. Understand, I don't care what Biden says. I don't care what Trump says. The earth and the fullness thereof, it is the Lord's. The earth is His footstool, and heaven is His throne. Who's in charge here? God is when we release Him. How do we release Him? With our words. What words? Our words? Our personal words? No. The words that are the life words of God Himself. He gives them to us, and then we declare it. Isn't that pretty powerful? Where's the work in that? There's no work in that. Amen? Was that all right today? Say it with me, I am anointed. You have Jesus Christ living inside of you? He's the anointed one, isn't He? Isn't He the anointed one? Now you're anointed, right? So say it with me again, I am anointed. I'm the child of love. I'm one of His beloved. I'm accepted by Him. He's happy with me. When you go into you go into a boat dealer, you go into a motorcycle shop, you go into a new car dealer, and you pick the shiny one you like, whose choice is that? Yours, right? And you pick that one above all the others, right? Why'd you do that? Because that's the one you liked, right? Hello, He chose you. Hello, He chose you. Amen. Praise God. Isn't it good to be liked? Isn't it good to be accepted? I mean, to be tell me you love me, that's fine. You have to do that because you're a child of God. Get to heaven, you got to tell me you love me. But it sure is nice when you like me, you know, isn't it? My wife used to say that to me all the time we were dating, and I was too stupid to get it. And one day it dawned on me what she was trying to say. I'd say, I love you. She said, oh, I know you love me. Do you like me? Well, that's stupid. Love is better than like. Yes, I'm, you know, and that's how I'd treat it. Well, that's a silly thing to say. I said, I love you. Yeah, but do you like me? I love you. Yeah, but do you like me? Then it went from, then I got that. Then she says, well, why do you like me? Why do you love me? Oh. Then I found out the golden answer to that one. I don't know. And she just glowed because then there was no works for her to perform. You like me and you love me just because. And you know what? When we realize that God loves us and he likes us just because, it's easier to be a child of God. Amen? Amen. God bless you. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, Father, that it goes out like seeds into fertile soil. We thank you, Father, that God, into that fertile soil, Lord, you are going to, you prepared the heart. You, Father, will send the rain. You will send the sunshine in their life. And Father, I thank you, God, that it is good soil and that the word is inerrant, so it will produce. It will not come back void, but it will go do what it was sent to do, and it is to transform lives towards you. Father, to get them closer to you, to know you better, in Jesus' name, we give you the praise, and we give you the glory. It's not, Father, for us to be better people. It's not to correct us and make us better people so you'll like us. It's to give us, Father, revelation so that we begin to know that you already do like us. You already do love us. And now we can talk about something deeper than just acceptance. We can talk about life. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. We'll see you next Sunday.
Don't forget to see Alicia for a sign up for next Sunday's Thankful It's Christmas.